This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this is your Nishna Valley. A green Nishna Valley.
Yes. Grass is getting greener. I have some grass coming up that we planted last year. Loving it.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah.
It's also St. Patrick's weekend. Yeah.
I'm just thinking, oh, warmer weather.
Yay. Well, that's okay.
Yeah.
It's been an incredible weather week this last week.
It has.
I hope it stays like this for many months to come.
Me too.
Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be great.
Yeah, it's been wonderful. Temperatures in the 70s, nearing 80 degrees over this last week. Real little, you know, rain chances and stuff. It's just been wonderful. I don't know what we credit this weather to. If it's the calm before the storm,
yeah.
Or if we're really living such a good life that God has rewarded us with wonderful spring weather.
Yeah.
But, you know, normally we're about 20, 25 degrees warmer than it's supposed to be this time of the year. Typically, we're in the middle to upper 40s for average high temperatures at this point in the middle of March. But we've been looking at, you know, middle 70s, going on 80. It's just been wonderful. And I don't know why in the world that we've been so blessed. But
makes you a little nervous.
But it's fooling everything. I hope it's not fooling anybody, actually. I hope it stays like this and it's not just a tease. I'd hate for it to all of a sudden revert back to winter and all of a sudden we see snow on the ground again. But we didn't have much of that this year. But it's been so nice to be able to see things pop up all of a sudden. This last week, as you mentioned, grass is greening up. I don't know about the trees starting to bud
quite yet.
But I've seen some of the early flowering, flowers.
Yeah, right out our window.
Yeah, some of the early season things that tend to pop right away already. I mean, we've got some blooming already.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. You actually see some yellow flowers out
in
the front
yard. I don't know what they are.
I'm not a flower guy.
Yeah, they're pretty yellow flowers.
I don't really know that much about it. I know I did plant several daylilies out front a few years ago. We parted some off from some that we had at home that were growing pretty heartily, so... Those will grow, but those won't flower till later on. But, yeah, there's some early season things that have popped already, and it's really, I mean, that's, I was looking out the window the other day and thinking that, gosh, we're going to start thinking about mowing pretty soon.
Let's not get that far ahead of ourselves.
Well, it's greening up so rapidly.
Yeah.
With these warm nights we've had, and, of course, the warm, sunny days. Watch, we get a little bit of rain one of these days, and it stays warm after that for a little while. We will be mowing sooner than we think. So, yeah, it's nice to see all the green out there.
It is.
Now, are you doing anything this weekend for St. Patrick's Day, or do you really care?
I used to care. Now I don't so much. So much.
I'll
be just fine staying home.
You only care about what your son cares about now. Welcome to parenthood.
Yeah.
You don't get to make your own choices and decisions anymore. They're all made for you.
Yeah.
Like, for example, what time you're going to get up in the middle of the night?
Yeah, it can vary.
Typically, it's a decision that's made for you now.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend. A lot of folks have fun with that. People become Irish who aren't even close to Irish.
Yeah.
Which is actually probably appropriate when you stop and think about it, because I don't know how much folks actually know about St. Patrick. I did a little bit on it earlier this last week in my morning segment, but taking some excerpts from Professor Philip Freeman of Luther College up in Decorah, who is the author of a book called St. Patrick of Ireland, a Biography. And the funny thing about St. Patrick, he wasn't Irish.
He wasn't Irish?
No, he wasn't even Irish.
Go figure.
He was from Britain. Not Ireland. Born around 390 AD to an aristocratic Christian family, and wealthy family, townhouse, country villa, plenty of slaves. I mean, for that time period, yikes, that was wild. And he wasn't really interested in Christianity at all when he was young. However, when he was 16 years old, he was kidnapped and sent overseas to tend sheep as a slave in the chilly, mountainous countryside of Ireland for 7 years. So his world rapidly changed. It was a horrible time, but the good side of that was is he got a religious conversion. He was a very strong Christian at that point, and he heard some voices come to him in a dream telling him to escape. So he found his way back to Britain on a pirate ship and was reunited with his family, and then the voice returned to him and told him to go back to Ireland. So he was ordained by a bishop. He went back to Ireland, spent the rest of his life trying to convert the Irish to Christianity. Wasn't easy. He was beaten by thugs and harassed by the royalty in Ireland, and there were lots of issues and things. Then he was largely forgotten after he died. But mythology later on kind of grew, and all of a sudden we came up with all this St. Patrick lore. You know, the shamrock is kind of an Irish thing that we look at.
Yeah.
They're not even all that prevalent in Ireland. In fact, the last few years, they've had trouble growing them because of the weather conditions and things. But the reason for the three leaf shamrock. The reason that the three leaves of the shamrock were a big deal is because he used to use that as a visual reminder of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So that's why that was related to St. Patrick's Day in the first place. But in the 17th and 18th centuries, folks started wearing shamrocks as part of their customs and things. And although there's nothing really uniquely Irish about shamrocks, because most of those clits clover, and most of those clover species can be found many places, it was part of lore. And of course, the myth goes is that St. Patrick banished all the snakes from Ireland.
How do you do that?
One at a time, I guess, with a big stick.
Yeah.
You know, which it is true that there are no snakes on the island today.
So, really?
No. If you're one who just absolutely has an absolute fear of snakes, I guess Ireland is the place for you because there are no snakes there.
Wow.
But according to Freeman, he says there's a reason that there are no snakes there, and it doesn't have anything to do with St. Patrick. They never existed on the island of Ireland.
Well, that makes it easy.
Well, it's surrounded by icy ocean waters, and they say it's much too cold to allow snakes to migrate from Britain or anywhere else. You know, snakes can migrate through the water, and not necessarily there. It's too cold. And if you know anything about snakes and cold-blooded animals...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, cold-blooded, they need the heat around them to get a little bit of energy and things. Yeah, there's no way they could swim through icy waters like that and make that work for them. But, you know, the thing is, those snakes represent evil oftentimes in literature. And so when Patrick drives the snakes out of Ireland, it's probably more symbolic, driving all the old evil pagan ways out of Ireland and bringing in a new age. So lots of things like that. St. Patrick's Day was largely an American thing. It was more the Irish Americans that made St. Patrick's Day into what it is today. It kind of came from here and went that way as opposed to coming from Ireland.
Good to hear, yeah.
But one of the things that's I found interesting, one of the things that folks associate a lot with St. Patrick's Day is, you know, maybe a little adult beverage, maybe a little green beer.
Yeah.
People like to dye the beer green on St. Patrick's Day, which is fine if you do it right. If you do it poorly, then you walk around with green teeth the rest of the day, which isn't so
not
fun.
Not so good, yeah.
Not so much, no. But Guinness is a brand of beer that is Irish, and on any given day, they say there are about 5.5 million pints of Guinness consumed in a day around the world, okay? But on St. Patrick's Day, about 13 million pints. So it more than doubles, nearly triples, actually, according to the folks at Guinness. And they say, historically speaking, a lot of Irish immigrants, they came to the United States. They brought with them lots of customs and tradition, Guinness being one of them. Today, the U.S. tradition of St. Patrick's Day parades and packed pubs and, of course, all that green silliness has invaded Ireland full force as well. They say that the folks over in Ireland decided that, if St. Patrick's Day is so popular in the United States, maybe we should adopt that, too. It's a good way to boost tourism in the spring.
Yeah.
So, hey, whatever you can do to jump on board. So there's a little bit about St. Patrick himself and St. Patrick's Day. Now you know more.
What about wearing the green, though?
What about it?
If you don't wear green, get pinched.
Huh?
Isn't that how it goes?
Oh, I have no idea.
Really? You've never heard that?
I never heard that.
You're kidding me.
I'm not Irish.
Really?
So well, I never wear
green.
Remember,
that's like the big thing, like in elementary school, you know, if you weren't wearing green, you got pinched.
Ah.
Or you just got to wear green on St. Patrick's Day.
I think the key part of that was elementary school.
Oh, no, it can keep going on.
Is that like seeing the car down the road with just one headlight and you have to hit the other person in the shoulder?
I haven't heard that one.
Shoulder
I've
punch.
Heard, like, you know, seeing like the bug, slug bug, but
what did we call? Oh, padilly. A padilly. A one-eyed car is a padilly.
That's the first time hearing that.
Ah, see, you learned something today.
I learned something new today.
Learned
thanks,
something
Jim.
About St. Patrick. You learned something. Yeah, see, it's an educational
program.
It's
a big
program.
Educational day, yeah.
Don't confuse this with public radio, though. Well, very good. Well, we hope you're having a fun weekend, St. Patrick's Day weekend, if that indeed means anything to you. So enjoy however you tend to enjoy, I guess.
Yeah.
We don't have any green beer parties or anything listed on our sheets this week, but we can tell you a few things that are going on, especially if you enjoy food.
Of course. Oh, well, the Maysnakes Scholarship Breakfast Fundraiser will be held on Sunday, March 18th. That's from 8:30 to 12:30, and that will be held at the Brighton Town Hall. They'll be serving biscuits and gravy with eggs, Belgian waffles, French toast, and that's for a free will donation. And proceeds will go then towards the scholarship fund for the 2012 Exira EHK Seniors. That's a Maysnakes Scholarship Breakfast Fundraiser on Sunday, March 18th from 8:30 to 12:30 at the Brighton Town Hall. The Maysnake Lodge in Avoca, their annual pancake and sausage feed, is on March 18th. That's from 8 to 12:30, and that will be at the Avoca Legion Hall. Their cost is $7 per person, and that also includes a drink. And then children 7 and under eat free. They do have carryouts available, and of course, walk-ins are welcome. Proceeds from that will go towards scholarships for graduating high school seniors. And also the Rotary Club of Avoca's annual silent auction will also be going on during the pancake and sausage feed. Bidding opens up at 8 a.m. and then closes at noon. Winners do not need to be present. They will be contacted then that following Monday. Trinity Christian Church, their annual fundraiser dinner in Bridgewater is on March 18th. That's from 11 to 1. They'll have four different varieties of soups and also have sandwiches and relishes, desserts and drink. And that's all for a free will offering. Proceeds from that go towards the church's community outreach fund to help area families with any needs that arise. Everyone is welcome to attend. That's the Trinity Christian Church annual fundraiser dinner in Bridgewater on March 18th from 11 to 1. The March meeting for the Atlantic Business and Professional Women will be held on March 21st. That will be held at the Redwood Steakhouse in Anita at 6:30. The program will be on the SWTA Transit, and then a carpool will leave from Iowa Western Community College in Atlantic at 5:30. A Masquerade $5 Jewelry and Accessory Fair will be held on March 23rd. That is from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m., and that's at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital's Education Center. They have lots of different merchandise. They have watches and earrings, necklace sets, bracelets, scarves, sterling silver, much more. It's all for women, men, and children, and it's all just $5 per item. The event is hosted by the Audubon County Hospital Foundation, and proceeds will go to support the mission of the foundation. That's the Masquerade $5 Jewelry and Accessory Fair on March 23rd from 9:30 to 4, and that will be held at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital's Education Center. Knights of Columbus Baked Fish Suppers are served every Friday evening during Lent. That's from 5:30 to 7 at Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Parish Center. They're serving baked Alaskan pollock, baby red potatoes, homemade coleslaw, green beans, French bread, coffee, tea, milk, and orange drink. They do have desserts available for a free will offering that supports the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Youth Group activities. Cost then is $8 for adults and $4 for children 10 and under, and proceeds from that go to support the Knights of Columbus scholarships to be awarded to the local 2012 high school graduates. There's a Red Cross blood drive in Exira on March 23rd, and that will be held at the Exira Recreational Center, and that is from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's a Red Cross blood drive in Exira at the Rec Center from 8 to 2. The 6th annual Boots to Heel Conference is on March 24th. The conference runs from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., and that will be held in the Cass County Community Center here in Atlantic. Throughout the day, conference participants will be able to select from 12 unique topics during four workshop sessions. They have breakout topics including home organization, farm succession planning, wind energy, food preservation, interior decorating, and more. They have treats available as well as breakfast, lunch, and special desserts served up by locally owned businesses, a lunchtime entertainment by the Patchwork Pals, door prizes, and there's plenty of time for conversation and networking. Registration for the entire day, which includes a continental breakfast, lunch, and dessert and materials, is $35. You can get registration forms at your local Iowa State University Extension office, or you can also print them off online at extension.iastate.edu/CAS. That's the 6th annual Boots to Heel Conference on March 24th. And that runs from 8 to 3 at the Cass County Community Center in Atlantic. The Grizzled Community Choir will present an Easter cantata, Harvest of Sorrows, on March 25th. They'll have two different performances. One is at 1:30 at the Oakland Methodist Church, and then at 4 at the Grizzled High School. The Friends of the Elliott Public Library are having an annual soup and dessert supper. That's on March 28th at the Elliott Community Building, and they're serving from 5 to 7. That's for free will donations, so please come and join them for great food and fellowship. Kindergarten screening for the 2012-2013 school year will be held on March 29th and the 30th. That's at the United Church of Christ in Atlantic. If your child turns 5 years of age after September 5th or by September 15th, 2012, you need to call the Washington Elementary School to make an appointment for a one-hour screening. Your child's screening will include vision and hearing checks and a kindergarten readiness assessment. You'll need to bring your child's birth certificate and immunization records to the screening. Parents will also learn what is required for your child to attend kindergarten, and there is no cost for the screening. And then in April, your child will come in to visit the kindergarten classroom. You'll receive a letter by mail with your time, with the time your child will visit. There's a Red Cross blood drive in Atlantic on March 29th. That's at Molly from 11 to 4. Cass County Health System and Cass County Home Care announced the availability of free women's health screenings. The screenings are made available through the Iowa Care for Yourself program and a grant from the Iowa affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. Screenings include mammograms, clinical breast exams, and pelvic exams. Some age, income, and insurance guidelines do apply. Enrollment numbers are limited, and services must be completed by March 30th. If you're interested in accessing the women's health screenings, you need to contact Carla Akers at 243-7443.
Very good. A few other things, too, this weekend especially. There's an annual outreach fund soup supper coming up this Sunday, March 18th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Trinity Christian Church in Bridgewater. They'll be serving soups, sandwiches, relishes, desserts, all for a free will offering. That's this Sunday, 11 to 1. Also this Sunday, there is a benefit dinner for Lori Wagner. It's a pork sandwich dinner. It'll be at the Old School Gymnasium in Templeton. It's this Sunday, March 18th, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. The benefit will include a bake sale, a live auction, and a silent auction. The proceeds will benefit benefit Lori with medical expenses that she's incurred while battling breast cancer. You can also drop off donations at Landman's Bank in Audubon or Templeton Savings Bank as well. Or you can call Sue Rugard or Mary Lou Stevens to donate or to volunteer. And again, that's this Sunday, March 18th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Old School Gym in Templeton. Also this weekend, Sunday, March 18th, there's the Shelby County 4-H County Council Breakfast Brunch. It's from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. They're serving scrambled eggs, bacon, biscuits and gravy, orange juice, milk and coffee, with all the proceeds going to Shelby County 4-H. So that'll be a free will donation, and that's held at the Thurkildsen Center in Harlan this Sunday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Also this Sunday, March 18th, the 37th Annual Westphalia Fire Department Chicken Supper is taking place from 4 to 8 p.m. at Westphalia's St. Boniface Parish Center. Tickets are $9. You can get them from any fire department member. They'd love to have you stop on by. Also coming up a little further down the road here, coming up this next week, there are two more listening posts going on with the Countywide Trail Planning Committee that's been holding sessions in Pottawatomie County. This week on March 21st, that would be on Wednesday, there will be a water trail meeting at the Botna Bend Park in Hancock. That's from 7 to 9 p.m. And then also there's a listening session at the Iowa Western Community College on Thursday, March 22nd. That's 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. And they hope to have good crowds for those as well. If you have any ideas, bring them along. Also this week, there's a Veterans Affairs Open House. The Veterans of Armed Forces Open House will be held at the American Legion Hall in Avoca. That's this Friday and Saturday, coming up this Friday and Saturday of this next week, March 23rd and 24th. Now, on the 23rd, the open house is from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then also on Saturday, March 24th, it's from 9 a.m. until noon. Veterans and their family members with questions about benefits can stop by and get those questions answered, as the goal is to increase awareness about the VA and other benefits and services that are available to veterans, and also to assist them with applying for those benefits, and there'll be some representatives there to help you out as well. Also coming up on Monday, March 26th, the Adair Casey High School Blood Drive will be held, and that'll be from 1:30 to 6 p.m. at the Adair Casey High School. To make those appointments, you can contact Amy Ruland at the school at 641-742-3661. You can call Karen Eads in Adair at 641-742-3494 or Colleen Rupert. Colleen Rupert in Casey at 641-746-2641 to make those appointments. Again, that blood drive at the Adair Casey High School, 1:30 to 6 p.m. on Monday, March 26th. So that's what's coming up here in the area in the coming days. Hope you have a chance to enjoy some of those activities. Didn't hear any corned beef and cabbage.
Yeah, there wasn't too many of those, huh?
Would have thought there'd be at least one corned beef and cabbage dinner somewhere for St. Patrick's Day. You don't like that?
I've never tried it, so I can't completely say I don't like it. Which, but I've smelled it, and which, that was enough for me.
Which have you not tried, the corned beef or the cabbage?
Both.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had cabbage.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, see, we make cabbage all the time. If we make it, throw a roast in, for example, mm-hmm. it's always potatoes, carrots, onions, and cabbage. Good stuff.
Yeah, I'll pass.
Really? Corned yeah. beef with a little mustard on it? Good stuff.
It just sounds weird and does really? Not... Yeah, it doesn't appease to me, I guess.
Okay. We'll have to bring some out sometime. You won't even try
sometime
it,
when I'm gone.
Yeah, that's I figured. Oh, well. I'm going to lose this argument, so let's just give it up right now. Hey, we'll take a break. Be back with more right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
All right, back to business. You got a lot of birthdays actually over there.
I do. Okay. I'd like to wish happy birthday to Daryl Davis on Sunday, March 18th. They're having a little get-together for him there at the LA Community Building from 2 to 4. If you're unable to attend, he'd love to hear from you. You can send him a birthday card to P.O. Box 73, LA, Iowa, 51532. Again, that's happy birthday to Daryl Davis. Get together on Sunday, March 18th at the Elliott Community Building. It's a come-and-go birthday party from 2 to 4. If you're unable to attend, you can send him a card to P.O. Box 73 in Elliott, 51532. Happy birthday to Jane Layton, celebrating her 80th birthday. They're celebrating a card shower for her. Her birthday's on the 18th. You can send her a card to 54697 Troy Road in Griswold, 51535. Happy birthday to Jane Layton, celebrating her 80th birthday on March 18th. You can send her a card to 54697 Troy Road, that's Griswold, 51535. Happy birthday to Lori LeMaster, celebrating her 80th birthday also. They'll have a reception for her on Sunday from 2 to 4 on March 25th at the Griswold Community Center. You can join them for refreshments and visit with old friends. That's happy birthday to Lori LeMaster. I'm sorry, to Winifred LeMaster, celebrating her 80th birthday with a reception from 2 to 4 on Sunday, March 25th at the Griswold Community Center. Over at the Xyra Care Center, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Julie Earnhardt on March 17th. And then over at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn, we have two birthdays. Happy birthday to Pat Dvork on March 17th and also to Erna Lang on March 17th also.
Very good. I don't have any anniversaries, and we don't have any babies to tell you about either.
No.
So I guess we're just done with that part of our program.
Yeah.
You know, as the weather gets nicer out, some folks like to start, they get the urge.
Yeah.
Want to go outside and start doing some things, whether it's playing golf, riding a bike, a little gardening, mm-hmm. just walking.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of fun to go out and do those kinds of things. Now, I know we have a lot of toys that are kind of electronic and expensive these days. For example, a lot of folks will have maybe treadmills in their homes and things where... You know, you can walk for a certain amount of time, and it'll show you how many calories it's estimating that you're burning and things.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of folks don't have those luxuries, so we kind of depend upon charts and graphs and whatever. So if you're thinking about getting out and moving around, the American Council on Exercise has a little calorie burner chart that they have here. And it's kind of interesting to look at what you actually can do to burn some calories. They list four different weight classes. They list 120 pounds, 140, 160, 180. Now, for our purpose, I'll just take the 160-pound class, kind of cut it in half a little bit. But for folks who weigh 160 pounds, if you go out and let's say you just go out walking, It says if you're 160 pounds, you'll burn 8.7 calories per minute.
Hmm.
Well, if you walk for 10 minutes, yeah. I guess you've burned 87 calories.
Not too bad.
And if you walk for an hour, well, you can do the math.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden you're talking about, what, two going on 300 calories. So, yeah, not too bad. You can kind of start to figure out what you're doing depending upon, you know, what you like. Weight training is just about the same if you're going out to, say, folks like to go jogging. If you're going to go out jogging, well, a 160-pound person would burn about 12.4 calories per minute on a jog. So how long can you jog? Let's say you want to go out. Well, here, we'll play golf. If you want to go out and play golf, if you're sitting in a cart, you're not burning many calories, 2.8 per minute. Now, if you pull or carry your clubs, then it's 6.2 calories per minute. So you can increase that. Gardening, about 6.7 calories per minute. If you like to go bicycling at 10 miles per hour, you're looking at 7.3 calories per minute. So you start to see where they add up a little bit. And then, of course, you also have to take into account, what will you do longer? I mean, if you're going to jog, how long will you jog? Are you just going to jog to the corner and back? Or maybe if you ride a bike, you'd be more inclined to ride for a half an hour or an hour because it's a little easier, you know, on the joints and that type of thing. So, you know, if you're looking to lose a few pounds here and there, burn a few extra calories. You know, I noticed they have my favorite exercise on here, too.
What's that?
Sitting quietly.
I was going to say sitting on the couch.
They actually do.
Watching TV.
On the chart, it says sitting quietly. And at 160 pounds, you're going to burn about 1.5 calories per minute just sitting quietly. So I guess I'm helping myself. I'm getting healthier anyway.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, it's March Madness time. We're all watching basketball.
I guess you're probably throwing your arms up cheering and stuff. Maybe that gives you a little extra boost.
That's aerobic exercise. Well, hey, aerobics. Let's see here. Dancing, aerobic, 9.8 calories per minute. Not so bad. Even if you just want to go bowling, 1.6 calories per minute. Which isn't bad when you consider all you do is get up, wave your arm, and go sit down again.
Yeah.
Of course, you do have that moment where you're lifting that pizza slice towards your mouth and then lifting that beer bottle towards your mouth.
Yeah, cheese balls.
Yeah, we know how people bowl, and we know why they bowl.
Yeah.
It's not for the exercise. It's for the social experience. Of course, you get to some of these others. Running, of course, would be a good one. That's 15.1 calories per minute, but how long can you run? Now, I'm not talking jogging. Running.
Yeah.
A little tougher. You can't do that long term. But swimming, of course, even at a moderate pace, you're looking at over 10 calories per minute. Not a bad way to lose weight. It's always a good toner, and you're toning a lot of muscles in your body to do those kinds of things. You know, a lot of folks will do these kinds of things to see if they can lose a few pounds here and there. But, you know, losing weight, it's just not the easiest thing in the world.
No.
As we all know, gaining weight's a piece of cake.
Oh, yeah, I'm good at that.
Usually that piece of cake's why we gain weight.
Yeah.
But it's the losing weight that's difficult because, and it's not just trying to, you know, eat less and eat healthy things. It's changing the habits.
Yeah.
You know, we get into those habits of, you know, oh, I got to go eat lunch now. You know, oh, I got to eat a big breakfast now. You know, it's those habits.
Eat everything off the plate.
Well, that too, you know, but at the end of the day, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, to lose weight, it's simple. You have to use more calories than you take in. It's that simple. 1 pound equals about 3,500 calories. So you need to reduce your daily caloric intake by 500 to 1,000 calories each day to lose about 1 to 2 pounds per week. I mean, it boils down to simple mathematics.
Yeah.
So if you watch what goes in your mouth and pay attention to what you're doing to burn that off, you know, those are the kinds of things you need to do. But, you know, one of the things that's difficult too for folks, losing weight is tough, but folks do it. It's preventing the weight gain. How many times have you heard stories about people who go on diets of some sort, lose weight and are proud of that, and then all of a sudden,
you're right back to where they started.
Yeah, either gain it all back or gain a part of it back, and then they're disappointed. Preventing weight gain is difficult too, because, you know, as we age, our body composition shifts gradually over time. Muscle mass decreases. Women don't have as much estrogen. We don't produce as much testosterone. I mean, all these things change. Our joints start to hurt.
Yeah.
You know, am I depressing you yet?
Yeah. Can't wait.
There are all these things that play in. So, you know, we have to be a little bit more careful. You know, if you want to prevent weight gain, then you choose foods supply you with the appropriate number of calories to maintain your weight. But, you know, you want to make sure you're not eating things that are going to, you know, have undue fats and things in them too. You know, that's the hardest part. But, you know, you have to look at, has your activity level changed? Are you eating more? You know, it might be helpful to use some sort of a diary to gauge those kinds of things too, just to make sure that, you know, you're truthful with yourself. And that's about the only way you can do it is to really keep track. It's kind of like a budget, a financial budget at home. You really don't know where your money goes till you sit down and write it all down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you really don't have any idea what you're eating during the day until you have to write it all down.
That's true.
So keep track of those things and see if you can keep it all under control. That's all the time we have this weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.